fire us up with praise and worship. Amen.
Amen. It's great to have a good worship team.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I want to share with you this word God has given me this week. Amen. And I titled it Keepers of the Flock. Ooh. Keepers of the Flock. I preached a message a few years ago, and we titled it Keepers of the Flame. Keepers of the Flame. But tonight I want to share with you this message that the Lord gave me, and I titled it Keepers of the Flock. How many know we got to be keepers of the flock?
Yeah.
Tonight you are the flock of God. Amen. You're the flock. You come and you flock from all over to come to 630 West Main Street to hear from God. Did you come here to hear from? Did you come to hear from God?
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I came to hear from God.
Yeah,
amen.
That's right.
Came to hear from God. We come to church to hear from God. And God has a, look to your neighbor and say, God has a word for you. Tell him in Spanish. Dios tiene una palabra para ti. I'm going to teach you some Spanish tonight. Come on, somebody. God has a word. If I knew it in Chinese, I'd say it in Chinese. Amen. Con chao. Amen. I eat Chinese food today, so I got that spirit. Amen. Keepers of the flock. Genesis chapter 4, verses 2. Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept flocks. And Cain worked the soil. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, the name that is above all names, I pray for your anointing here tonight to preach. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would help me to convey the message you put in my heart. Lord, so the church may be edified and built up for your honor and your glory. God, I pray that you would raise up keepers of the flock. We give you all the honor and the glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, and everybody says,
amen.
You may be seated in the house of the Lord. Now, Abel kept flocks. We all know, most of us know the story of Cain and Abel. We know the story that Cain killed Abel. He slew Abel. It was the first murder recorded in the Bible here in Genesis chapter 4. Because he was jealous of his brother. He was jealous of his brother because Abel brought an offering before the Lord that the Lord looked upon with favor.
Yeah.
Cain brought an offering to the Lord, and the Lord did not look with favor, the Bible says, on Cain's offering.
Right.
That's what you learn when you finish reading the whole chapter of Genesis chapter 4. You can read it later on, maybe tonight. Tonight, I want to share with you about being keepers of the flock. Many times when pastors and preachers and teachers share on this verse, They'll talk about, you know, Cain killing Abel, and they'll deal with anger. They'll deal with the jealousy. They'll talk about giving, you know, because Abel brought a good offering to the Lord and Cain did it. But tonight I want to go a different way, and I want to talk and I want to labor on the topic of being keepers of the flock.
Oh, no. Right.
See, in order to have a flock, first of all, we must give birth. Somebody say give birth.
Give birth.
We see here that Eve, which means the mother of all, because she was the first woman. How many thank God for our moms in this place?
Amen.
Come on, mama tried. Come on, somebody. Huh? Right? Mama cried. Amen. Dear mama, we like mamas, right? Well, Eve was the first mother of all the living. And we see here the two firstborn of Eve. It's Abel and Cain, or Cain and Abel. And it says that Eve gave birth, that Adam made love to his wife, and she gave birth to Cain. Later on, he made love to his wife again, and she gave birth to Abel. So what we must understand, in order to be keepers of the flock, we must give birth. How do we give birth, Victory Outreach Grand Prairie? We give birth as we allow the Lord, as we allow the Lord to love us. The Bible says that the church is the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. He is the head. The Bible declares in the New Testament that Jesus is the husband. He is the husband and the church is the bride. That means that we're a couple, that is a symbolic meaning. It is a symbolic picture that God paints between himself and the church as a couple. He is the husband and the church is the bride. They are married. They are one. They are one body. They are one unit. Yeah. And God has intended us as one unit to give birth. How do we give birth? We give birth when God loves the church and the church loves God. Isn't that how it works for a married couple? Come on, somebody. Me and Sylvia met. We loved each other and came Frankie and came Timmy. I don't need to break it down any more longer than that. All right? Huh? And see, church, the way we get, if we're going to be keepers of the flock, we must produce a flock.
All right.
And in order to produce a flock, we got to allow God to love us.
All right, man.
You got to allow God to love you. Some people don't let God love on them. Some people, they don't understand the love of God. Some people, they don't know how to receive the love of God. I came in to Christ not knowing how to receive the love of God. Because it was weird to me. It was foreign to me. I didn't understand the concept of brotherly love. I didn't understand the concept of loving my neighbor. I didn't understand the concept of God loving me, because I used to be an individual that I was hard to love on. Come on, somebody. Many of us, we were people that were hard to love on. We were like that cactus. You know, like you got to be careful with the cactus. If you hug a cactus, you're going to get a bunch of needles in you. And that's how a lot of people are. You go try to hug on them, but you leave hugging them with a bunch of needles in you. Because some people, that's how they are. They react to love. They don't know how to respond to love. So whenever you try to love on them, they hurt you in return. And Victory Outreach, we're called to reach the unlovable. I've told you before. We reach the unlovable. We reach the unteachable. We reach the unreachable. We're not a normal church. We're not a normal case study. Come on. The people that come into our doors, a lot of times, listen, we come from the roughest of society. We come from the other side of the tracks. We come from a dark and a crazy and a lonely place, like Brother Pastor Art was saying last week. We come from a place where we don't know how to receive love, and all of a sudden we come trying to receive God's love, but instead we probably end up hurting God. We end up hurting people. We end up hurting those that God sends our way to show us and to display his love. We end up hurting them. Because see, sometimes we don't know how to receive God's love. You know how you don't know how to receive God's love? Because you don't know how to be broken in the presence of God. We don't know how to respond to the touch of God upon our lives.
Wow. Man, right.
Come on, somebody. Let me tell you something. When God touches your life, listen, God is so big that if he just touches you, he breaks you.
Right.
You ain't hearing me. Sister Leslie just gave my wife another dog. Good dog. I can't say its name. It's like a, what is it? What is it?
Scooter.
It's a Yorkie mixed with something. One of the little dogs, you know? Little dogs. I get up and I'm like a giant to it. It's like a little dog. I'll break that thing if I step on it. You know those type of little dogs?
Yeah.
Right? Because I'm so enormous. And compared to that little Yorkie, and it's called a Shih Tzu, too, like mix or something like that. I don't know. But it's a little dog, huh? I could blow on it and it'll tumble. Right? You know? And when you think about God touching us, imagine the magnitude of God. I mean, you're talking about the one who created the heavens and the earth, the galaxy, the heavens and the earth, everything in it, the stars, the Pluto, Mars, the uttermost. Come on. He created everything. He created the ocean and the seas and the whales and the bears and the elephant. You're talking about about the one who created all that. He is an enormous God. And when God just touches you, he breaks you. But listen, some of us don't know how to respond to the touch of God because we stand there and we're not broken in his presence. I don't know about you, but when God first touched my life, I tried to hold back the tears. I tried to act like I was big and bad. Oh, but God broke me down. Why? Because there's something about when God touches you. There's something about when you feel the presence of God. There's something about when you feel the power of God. There's something about when you feel the anointing that destroys the yoke of bondage. You can feel addiction fall off. You can feel alcoholism fall off. You can feel the change breaking upon your life. And all of a sudden, you begin to feel grateful inside. Why? Because God touched your life. And sometimes we come in and we don't know how to respond to the love of God. Because I got to be hard. Because nobody can see me cry. Because what are they going to think? Because who's watching? And we don't know how to respond. And there we are. We sit there trying to be all rough and tough, all big and bad. But I'm here to tell you that God is an expert. I'm here to tell you that God specializes in breaking down the big and bad, the rough and tough. We seen that last Sunday through the testimony of our Broncos. We seen that in some of your lives that you're sitting in the house of God. At once you were rough and tough. You were big and bad. But now you're at the altar crying like a big baby. Mucus everywhere. Saliva everywhere. Get it together, brother. It's all right. You don't understand. God touched my life. You don't understand. I was all the way to prison. You don't understand. God saved my marriage. You don't understand. CPS was about to take my kid. You don't understand. They were about to foreclose on my house. You don't understand. I was about to die. You don't understand. God healed me. And you experienced the touch of God. Listen, we have to learn how to receive love from God. That's the first step. You got to learn how to receive the touch and the love from God and allow God to break you. Allow God, because listen, God has a hard time with stiff objects. Come on, somebody. Have you ever tried to work with a stiff object? Huh? Have you ever tried to work with something that just ain't pliable? Huh? But God specializes in softening the hardest of hardest. Huh? And when you allow God to first touch your life and quit acting big bad and put down that facade and put down those walls. Come on, somebody. Let down the walls like the walls came down from Jericho. Listen, let down the walls of your heart. Let down the walls of your mind. Let down the walls of your life. You will experience the touch of God. Amen. You'll experience the love of God. But then after that, now you got to learn how to love God back. See, God loved you by touching you, but now you got to learn how to love God back.
Right.
Huh? Because see, once God touches you with his love, once he breaks you down with his love, now, guess what? The walls are down. Before you had walls up all around you. You were like a fortress. You were like a fortified city. Yeah. Nothing would come in and nothing would go out. Yeah. You were fortified. Therefore, you were starving yourself to death. Yeah. Why? Spiritually, because nothing could come in and nothing could go out. You weren't giving, but you weren't taking either. The enemy was strangling you. That's what happens when somebody strangles somebody to death. Nothing can come in and nothing can come out. And that's what the devil wants to do to us. He wants to strangle us. We had those walls up in our lives.
Man.
Those walls were up. But then God brings them down.
Right.
Now something can flow out.
Yeah. Come on.
Huh? Now something can flow out. And now that God has us, now that he tore down those walls with his love, now he wants us to love him back. This is why we give. This is why we worship. This is why we serve. Because those three things are the outflow. Huh? Those three things are the outflow. What determines our growth is not just the inflow of the church, but the outflow of the church. What determines your growth is not just what comes in. See, many people want to be, give me, my name is Jimmy. Your name is Jimmy, and I'm not talking about you. Come on, somebody. I know we got a Jimmy. Huh? And we come, and it's about, yeah, feed me, Pastor. Give me the word, Pastor. Yes, take us to that place, worship team. Yes, yes, this, that, and the other. But listen, there comes a place where you got to learn how to give back to God. Show God love back in return through your giving, through your service, through your worship, through your ministry. And why is this important? Because this is what produces. This is what causes us to be reproducing. This is what causes us to give birth. In order to have a flock, we must give birth. As we allow the Lord to love us and we love Him, we begin to reproduce. We begin to reproduce. Listen. What causes reproduction within the church? What causes us to reproduce ourselves as Christians? In other words, evangelism and discipleship, it's when people come and they see the love of God and they feel the love of God, not just from God, but from God's people. Somebody say amen. When people begin to feel the love from God's people, they, listen, we can sense the love of God because the love of God is thick in this place. The presence of God is thick in this place. We can feel it in the anointing. We can feel it in the worship. But listen, it also has to flow through the people of God. And when we come together, and as God loves on the church, and the church loves on God through giving, through serving, through worship, through praise, through all these avenues, all of a sudden we begin to give birth. All of a sudden the church is pregnant, and we're in prayer. We're 8 months pregnant. We're 9 months pregnant, and all of a sudden we're going to give birth. Why? Because of a love relationship. Mm.
Yes.
We need to love God.
Yes.
We need to love God. God, yes. Listen, God loving us is not the issue. God loves us.
Mm.
Huh? God loves us. Yes. He loved you when He gave you a second chance. Yes. He loved you when He had mercy upon your life.
Yes.
But do you love God? Yes. Are we showing God our love? Listen. Eve, listen to what she says. She says, with the help of the Lord, I gave birth to a man. That's what she said in verse 1. When she gave birth to Cain, she said, I named him Cain because with the help of the Lord, I gave birth to a man. How are we going to reproduce ourselves with the help of the Lord?
Amen.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
We reproduce ourselves. We do evangelism. We do discipleship. We do ministry with the help of the Lord. If it had not been for the Lord 8 years ago, when me and my wife came to the city of Arlington, Texas at 2306 East Park Road with nothing but a vision in our heart, with nothing but the promise of God, if it was not with the Lord that was with us, we wouldn't be here 8 years later on Main Street still preaching the gospel, still evangelism, still doing evangelism, still discipling men and women for the ministry. If it was not for the help of the Lord, I'm here to tell you that the Lord has been helping us for 8 years, and God is going to continue to help us. This church is going to continue to thrive and grow. Why? Because He's given us a promise, and that promise is Isaiah 45:2-3, that He'll go before us, and He'll level the mountains, and He'll make the crooked places straight, and He'll give us the treasures out of darkness. You are the treasures out of darkness. You used to live in darkness. You were in that dark crack house. You were in that dark club. You were in that dark area in the city. But God brought you out of darkness, and He put you in the marvelous light. We're the treasures out of darkness. We have given birth, victory, outreach, because God has been our help. How in the world we reach a crazy person like you? With the help of the Lord.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. You were the roughest of the roughest. The craziest of the craziest. Come on, somebody. And some of you, oh, not me, Pastor. I was the quietest of the quietest. That's what I'm saying. Come on, somebody. Sometimes it's not the loud ones, it's the quiet ones. Somebody say amen. All right. Sometimes I always knew that when I went to a party when I wasn't saved, you know, I wasn't afraid of the person that was making noise. I was watching the quiet one.
That's right.
Oh, come on, somebody. Uh-huh. Some of you were that quiet one. Huh? That's why they called you silent. Sir Silence. Huh? Come on now. Listen, we give birth with the help of the Lord. The Lord has been helping us. Now, we see here that it says Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. The difference between keeping flocks and working the soil. What is the difference? Working the soil is toilsome. Mm-hmm. It's toilsome. You know that when, remember when Adam and Eve sinned? Huh? What did God do? He cursed the ground. Huh? Remember? Because why? He says, listen, Adam. You can eat from every tree in the Garden of Eden, but of the tree in the midst of the garden, you shall not eat. Because on that day you eat of that tree, you will surely die.
Right.
Huh? Then we know the story. There goes Eve being nosy. Hello, somebody. Huh? Bit. And she says, viejo, Dan, taste. He grabbed it. Si, senora. And he ate. He sinned. He sinned. But notice God didn't, you know, jam up Eve at first. He went to Adam first. He went to Adam first. But before he had went to Adam, before this, he had given Adam a job. He says, be fruitful and multiply. And he says, and work the soil, and it's gonna produce, and it would be easy for him to do it. But after he sinned, God, the judgment, if we had time, we would look at it, but you can look at it in chapter 2. After he sinned, God says, from now on, because you sinned, after he sinned, now it's not gonna be that easy to get fruit from the ground. Now the ground is gonna be cursed because you sinned.
Yeah. Wow.
He says, from the sweat of your brow, you're gonna eat. In other words, you know what God was saying? He was saying, listen, before the fall, Adam didn't sweat.
Yeah. Wow.
Before the fall, Adam did not sweat. Huh? He would work the ground. He would plant tomatoes, plant beans, plant apples, whatever. And he and would come forth, and it was like an easy job. Have you ever tried to till the ground?
Yeah.
It's not easy. But for Adam, it was easy. Huh? It was easy at the beginning. But after he sinned, God cursed the ground, and it became toilsome.
Yeah.
It became toilsome. And that's not it. That's not it. It's one thing for it to be toilsome just for Adam. But he passed it down to his son, Cain.
My God.
Huh? Because it would become a generational curse. See, how many times were we out there and we were living under a curse?
Yeah.
We were living under a curse, and there we were trying to work for that almighty daughter.
Yeah.
There we were living a toilsome life, and we thought we had it made because we were slanging ice and slanging 20s and slanging 8-balls and moving this and moving that. But we never had rest because we were always watching our back. We were always on the lookout. We were always peeping out the window. Come on, somebody. We couldn't even sleep right. That's why we stayed up all night. That's why we smoked crack. That's why we snorted cocaine. That's why we smoked ice.
Yeah. Right.
There ain't no rest for the weary.
Yeah.
We were toiling. Come on, somebody. And if it had not been for the Lord,
amen,
our children would see the same path. Huh? Some of you, you got caught up because mom, dad. Come on, somebody. Huh? You see mom drink. You seen dad drink. You seen them slang dope. Huh? And all of a sudden, you seen brother do it. You seen this person. You seen uncle do it. You seen granny do it.
Whoa.
I said granny. That's
right.
My connection was a granny. I used to score, man. She was a granny, man. I used to go.
Amen.
Huh? Huh? I ain't gonna say her name, but you know. She's grandma, man. She's like 9 sacks, 20 sacks. She was a hustler too, because she was sprayed with ammonia. Come on, man. Huh?
Come on, man.
Right? I said, who am I to go score from granny? Generational curses. Generational curses. Huh? And it was toilsome work, but yet we thought we were balling. Shot calling. Huh? We thought we were on top of the world, but we were toiling. We were toiling. Listen, God brought you here to Victory Outreach. He brought you into His grace. He brought you into His mercy. He brought you to the foot of Calvary so that you can stop your toiling. You ain't got to toil no more. You ain't got to toil for Pharaoh. You can rest in the grace of God. You can rest in the promises of God. You can rest in the goodness of God. Some of you, I know you probably didn't sell drugs, but you were still toiling for favor, for Pharaoh. You were toiling for that almighty dollar. You were out there. You were a workaholic. Hello, somebody. Working all kinds of days and all kinds of hours, and you never got to see your children. You never got to spend time with your wife. You never got to spend time with... You were always out, and when you finally did make it home, you're too tired to spend time. You're too tired to play with them. You're too tired. And there you were toiling, but God wants you to rest in His grace. God wants you to rest in His power. God wants you to rest in His blessing. We don't have to toil no more. Even in serving God, it's not toilsome. See, when you serve God with a mentality like Cain, which is a work mentality, so no wonder you don't have no joy. Because you look at worship practice as work. You look at going to the streets as work. You look at preaching as work. You look at your ministry as work. I don't look at this as work, my friend. I don't. You know the way you should look at it, not as work, my friend. You should not be back there teaching the children and say, oh, I'm working. No, my friend, you're not working. You're in a love relationship with God. You're in a love. What you do unto the Lord, because God has loved you. I'm just using my servanthood to love Him back, because He is the body of Christ. And when I love on the body of Christ, I'm loving on God Himself. When you love on the church, you're loving on God, because He died for the church. He gave His life for the church, and when you serve the church and the body of Christ, you're expressing your love relationship to the Almighty. But many times we have a Cain mentality. We have a work mentality.
Come on,
Pastor. Oh, it's work.
Come on.
It's work to go to the rally. It's work to show up. See, the enemy lies to us. He lies to us. And God is saying, no, my friend, the enemy is trying to twist you up. You got to quit looking at it like that. You got to look at it and understand, when you come for me. You come to love on me. You come to love on me and worship. You come as you play that piano. It is a love. It is a sweet tune. It is a sweet aroma to the Lord. As you strum that bass, as you strum that guitar, as you use that microphone and sing unto the Lord, you're making love unto me. Even when you may not have a microphone, but you're sitting in that chair and you're in worship and you're lifting your hands. What are we doing? We're loving on God. Hello, somebody. We're giving God a big hug. We're saying, God, you are number one in our life. We just came here to love on you. We just came here to be with you. We just came here because we want to be with you, God. We're thirsty for your presence. We hunger for your presence. I've been with Pharaoh all week long. Oh, but it's Fired Up Friday. I want to be with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I know I pray at home. I know I read the Bible at home. But there's nothing like coming before the body of Christ, coming into the sanctuary of God, and beholding the goodness of God, and seeing the people of God, and coming together. There's a special presence. There's a special power. When we come together as a body of Christ, God manifests Himself in a special way. Keepers of the flock. See, we need to shift our mentality from a work mentality to a love mentality. A love mentality that keeps. See, what is this? This is caring for people. What do I mean by being keepers of the flock? I mean that we care for people. It's what I've been preaching. It's what I've been teaching. It's what God has been putting on my heart to care for people.
Amen.
See, keepers of the flock are people that care. Abel, listen, Abel didn't have leaders or managers to help him. But you know what he had? He had systems. Listen to the scripture. Listen to verse 2. Now, Abel kept flocks with an S. It didn't say, now Abel kept a flock. It says, Abel kept flocks. So I like our sanctuary. There it is. It's like A, B, C, D. Right? Got my flock on the right. Got my flock on the center right. Got my flock on the center left. I got my flock on the left over here. Huh? And when you look at it like that, just picture it like that. Abel kept flocks. Huh? Think about the church, you being a flock right here. And then this section being a flock. And then you got the back row flock.
Yes.
We used to call that sinner's row. Amen. Amen. Come on. Go from sinner's row to the front row. Hey, no. That would be like way in the corner. Right? Yeah. Huh? But you think about like what I'm saying. A flock here, flock here. It says Abel kept flocks. Let me ask you a question. In this verse, how many people were around?
Yeah.
Do you know how many people were around? Does anybody know how many people were around in this verse? How many, Josh?
Four
people. In the whole world, four people. Who was it?
Adam and
Eve. Cain and Abel. Right? Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel. Four people. We know that Cain, he worked the soil. Right? He was a farmer. Huh? We know that his dad also was a farmer. He worked the soil. But it says that Abel kept flocks. So what does that tell me? That tells me that he didn't have no leaders to help him.
All right, that's right.
He didn't have another under shepherd to help him. He didn't have other managers to help him with his flocks. Plural. Right? Huh? It doesn't say Abel kept a flock. It says Abel kept flocks.
Right.
Plural.
Come on now, this is good.
How did Abel keep flocks? Let me tell you how he kept flocks. With the system.
Come on.
Abel had systems in place to enable him as one man to keep many flocks. Right. And let me tell you, listen, these flocks weren't just little three to a flock, four to a flock. No, these babies were reproducing.
Yeah.
Talking about making love. Huh? They spit them out. Come on, somebody. Huh? Faster than, you know, the you know, El Rancho spits out tortillas. Huh? These were flocks of 100, of 200, of 300. These were many flocks that Abel had to take care of. Remember, it was the beginning. You talk about being fruitful. They were fruitful at this time. It was the beginning of creation, of humanity, of the world. I mean, everything worked perfectly at that time.
Yeah.
Hmm? There were some big flocks, but how did he keep them? He kept them with the system. And God here, he gave me a revelation. He says, listen, this is the key right here. God has called us to be keepers of flocks. And one of the ways we are able to be keepers of the flocks is if we start to understand, the systems that God has given us. Listen, I'm sure that it was not an easy task for Abel at the beginning. He's seen all the sheep. He's seen all the cattle. And he says, God, how in the world? And when you think about flocks, I'm sure it probably just wasn't sheep. It was probably in flocks of cows, flocks of horses, flocks of sheep, flocks of different types of animals he probably had.
Amen.
But how did he do it? You know what I believe Abel did? I believe he prayed. I believe he asked his parents. I believe he went and talked to his dad and his mom because they had been around longer than him. And says, God, I need some wisdom. I need some advice. How do you know, this is the big task that God has given me to you know, he's called me to be a shepherd, to be a keeper of the flocks. But there's a lot of them, Dad. There's a lot of them, Mom. Do you got any ideas? And all of a sudden, they begin to share with them because they've been around a little bit longer. And they say, you know what? I know how these sheep act. I know how these donkeys act. Let me just give you a little advice and some insight on their conduct. And maybe that'll help you to develop a system so that you can keep them all together. And he got advice from his parents, his leaders. He prayed, he meditated, he thought, and all of a sudden, God began to give him some systems on how to be a keeper of the flocks. It says he kept flocks. He kept them with systems. You know, what probably happened is that while some ate, some were eating grass. The others, Yvonne, come on, you guys are going to come over here and drink water. These were over here. These were over here. Drinking water. And then he had another group over here. And you know what he was doing? Let's get over here, you little dirty sheep. Over here, he was grooming them. Because some of them, like you know, their hair, they had, what do you call it when the brush gets stuck in your hair? Nappy. Yeah, very nappy. Nappy sheep. Cut that nappiness out. And while those were over there, these were over here. These over here. He had a system. And you know, the ones that he groomed, they were like all happy. Even though it hurt, right? Like, right, remember when mom used to comb you? Right? But you know at the end you look beautiful. Right? So you kind of let her. And that's where these sheep were. You're kind of like, man, you know, I look nappy today. I need April to groom me. Huh? And then all of a sudden you groom all these. And he's, okay, now you go eat over there now. It's time for lunch. And then these would move on, and he would begin to groom these over here that were drinking water. And he'd move these that were eating. He'd begin to let them come over here so they can drink water. And he had a system that he developed that helped him, enable him to keep. And they were busy eating. So listen, if you know the thing about sheep, I'm sorry that the Bible compares us as sheep, but sheep are not smart animals. Matter of fact, they're dumb.
Wow.
They're one-tracted.
Right.
They're one-tracted.
Oh, wow.
And sometimes it can work against us, but sometimes it works for us. Huh? You know why? Because if you can just give you one thing that you can stay focused on.
Come on.
Huh? If you can just get one thing that you can stay focused on, maybe you won't get tripped up. I've seen a lot of people get tripped up. Because they're not focused. Huh? I believe that, listen, as a new believer, that one thing you need to focus on is God.
Amen.
Huh? Don't worry about this. Don't worry about that. Don't worry because you're going to get tripped up. Just focus in on God. Just focus in on the Word of God. Just eat the Word of God and let the Word of God nourish your soul. So what happens is all of a sudden when you try to do all kinds of things, you end up getting tripped up.
Yeah.
Even as leaders, we gotta learn to understand how sheep work, that we gotta keep them focused on one thing.
Wow.
Keep them focused on one thing. Because then we try to pile other things on top of them. And all of a sudden, they turn into mad sheep. Huh? See, Abel developed systems. He was able to manage all these different flocks with systems. And I'm sure he had other systems. Listen, Victory Outreach, we have systems.
Amen.
We have systems. He's able to develop the system. God has given us systems in Victory Outreach.
Right.
I got a few that I want to give you today. One of them is the life groups.
Yeah.
We're called to be keepers of flocks. Keepers of the flock. God has given us a system as Victory Outreach Grand Prairie. God has given us a system. He gave me and wife a system. Listen, we don't have life groups just so that you can work on Wednesday. Because that's how you look at it, as work. Wow. Oh, I got to go to Wednesday Bible study. Work. Oh, it's quiet up in here. Not after tonight, right? But God has given us systems. We have systems, a system of life. And listen, this is not something that oh, you know, it just pastor made up, and you know, Pastor Sonny made up, or Pastor Jesse made up. No, my friend, it comes from the Word of God.
Right.
Acts 2:46. Look at it. Acts 2:46. Acts 2:46. God has given us life groups, Wednesday life groups. Why? Because Sunday ain't enough. Friday ain't enough. I don't know about you, but I just don't eat lunch on Sunday. Hello, somebody. I don't just eat lunch. I just don't eat on Fridays, my friend. Listen, I am amazed that just sometimes we have Sunday only going Christians. How can you stay strong? How can you stay nourished? We're just coming, getting a meal once a week. Look. Let me prove it through scripture, because I already feel it. Huh? Acts 2:46. Every day. Do I need to translate that? I will. Todos los días. Every day. They continued to meet together in the temple courts, the sanctuary, the church. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. What is this? This is the system. That God says, listen, we're going to keep flocks, but it's not just going to be sheep now. It's going to be people. It's going to be the people of God. That God has called us to be keepers of the flock. That God has called. God wants to add to the church daily. God wants to bring. He wants to multiply the church. But it's going to come when we learn how to be keepers of the flock. Come on. In this previous scriptures, in verse 42, it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common.
Come on.
And they met daily.
That's right.
That is a system that God has given to the church. Life groups. This is how God has called us. This is a system, the life. This is why it's important that you stay plugged in, that you get plugged into a life group on Wednesday, or if you're a newcomer, to go to newcomers on Tuesday. Listen, God is gonna, He's gonna raise up more Bible study leaders, and we're gonna have more life groups that are gonna come. We have 5 right now, but we have a vision for 8. We have a vision for 10. We have a vision to multiply. Listen, why? Why? Because I want a big church. Why? Because I want to be famous. No, my friend, because I love people, and we should love people, and we should want to be keepers of the flock. I know there's another Francisco out there, he needs Jesus. There's another Joshua out there, he needs Jesus. There's another Joel out there, they need Jesus, and I can't handle them all myself. We need keepers of the flock.
Right.
We need leaders that can be keepers of the flock.
That's good.
Because they love people. Because we love God. This was a system. It's important. You don't understand how important the life groups are. This is so very important. And listen, not just the life group leader, but you don't understand when you go to a life group how important it is. Because sometimes they may not connect with the leader, but they'll connect with you. Sometimes they may not talk to the leader, but they'll talk to you. Sometimes they may not open up with the leader, but they'll open up to you.
Come on.
Amen.
Right.
And they come sometimes looking for you because they remember the last conversation they had for you, but then you're not there.
Wow.
And they get discouraged. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about self.
Come on.
inside of some of you to be able to be those keepers of the flock, to be able to be those sheep. You have a shepherd's heart that he's given you.
That's right. Come on. That's good, Pastor.
But we sit on that gift. When that gift is inside of you, people are drawn to you. You're like a magnet. Huh? Listen, I've learned this. I learned that everybody attracts somebody. Everybody attracts somebody. It's biblical. Even in Genesis, it says each shall reproduce according to their kind. Huh? Listen, there's some people, they're not my kind. They're your kind. That's why they take to you. Huh? You know, they're not my kind, but they take to you, and they come to you, and they listen to you, and they hear you. But when they come to you, you're able to give them God.
Amen.
See, this was a system that God is. This is the system that God has given us as a ministry through the life groups, and they're very vital to the life of the church. They are the life flow of the church, not just the life groups, but you can also put the ministries in here. That the ministries are also they're like little flocks. On Sunday night when the gang gathers, it is the flock of God. On Thursdays when the worship team gathers, you are a flock of the word. You are a flock of God. Get different ministries, the homes, that is a flock that you are over, Joshua and Asenet. They are flocks that God has given us. They're flocks. Second system that I got is our victory homes. Our victory homes and our D homes. You know what I consider those? 1 Samuel chapter 22. Look at that. 1 Samuel chapter 22. Our victory outreach rehab homes. We have rehab homes. A place, we have homes where men that want to get off of drugs, women that want to get off of drugs, they'll get their life right, right? Men and women that want to get their life. I went through the home. I don't say it, like down. No, I say it because I went through the home.
Come on,
your pastor went through the home.
Man.
Huh? I went through the home. God changed my life in that home. God raised me up in that home. God taught me how to be a leader in that home. God taught me to preach in that home. But that's a system. The victory homes and the D homes are a system.
That's right.
To keep flocks. They're a system. They come in the first phase. Then they go into the second phase. Some go to the UTC. They go, you know, even if you don't go into the first phase, man, not everybody needs to go into the first phase. Not everybody needs to go to the men's home. But some do need to go to the D home. You may not, but some need to go to the D home. Jesus is an example. He didn't go to the men's home, but he went to the D home. With Joe. Huh? And it's worked with him. It's helped him. We got examples of that.
That's right.
You know? So you know, this is a system that God has given our ministry. And the victory homes and the D homes. In 1 Samuel chapter 22, we see it says that David here was in the cave of Adullam. Verse 1, David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. When his brothers and his father's household heard about it, they went down to him there. All those who were in distress or in debt or discontented gathered around him. And he became their commander. About 400 men were with him. These men came to David in the cave of Adullam. They heard that David was in the cave of Adullam, a dark and a lonely place. But they knew the type of man that David was, and who came to him? The men that were like him came to him. 400 of them. What were they? How was David? He was distressed. He was disgruntled. He was distressed. He was in debt. Come on, somebody. These men came to David. They were on the run, just like he was on the run.
Come on, somebody.
It's our homes. It's our homes. These men coming broken off of some addicted, a life of sin, a life of craziness, a life of madness, a life of gangs, a life of drugs, addiction, life of selling dope, a life of crime. Oh, but when all of a sudden they burn all their bridges, all of a sudden no doors are open for them, all of a sudden there's no way out. Oh, but they hear about a home because somebody gave them a flyer, because somebody witnessed to them on the streets. Hello, somebody. And they told them about the Victory Home. They told them about the men's home in Grand Prairie off of Dalworth. Hello, somebody. And they said, you know, I have a Tapley Street. And all of a sudden they kept the flyer. And all of a sudden they kept on getting high. But once they were tired, once they were sick and tired of being sick and tired, they took their last hit. Come on, somebody. They pulled out that flyer. They said, enough is enough. I'm tired of letting down my family. I'm tired of being stuck out here. And all of a sudden they pick up the phone and they call child. Well, they come knocking at the door. And listen, we don't charge at the home. We can turn them away, but no, we receive them as they are, and they come in. Listen, it's up to them whether they're going to make it or not, my friend. All we do is provide the system. All we do is provide prayer. All we do is lead them to the water. It's up to them if they stay or not, but I thank God for the men who have stayed. Men like Josh, men like Michael Escobosa, men like Joe Rico, and men like myself, men like Joel, come on, that we stayed in the home, and look what God has did. Other men that went through the home, men like Pete, men like Danny, and listen, we're not all perfect, but thank God, we're here in the house of God on a Friday night. We should be in prison. We should be dead. Many of these men went through the home. Came so many that, well, so many I can't even name them all. Stand up if you've been through the home. It don't matter if you finished it or you've been through it. Stand up if you've been through the home. And come on, don't be prideful. Joe, stand up if you've been through the home, brother. Right? And all these men been through the home. Huh? Who else? Rico, you little Rico, get up. Boy, I put you in the home a long time ago. Huh? Don walked out the Mike! Women too! There she is. Louisa, get up. You're the I'll put it back down. Look at all this. Because of the home. Sit me, maybe seated now. Huh? Give the Lord some praise. Give the Lord some praise. And then that's not even including the men that are in the home. They didn't even stand. God gets to stand. Huh? Right? Come on, that's in my hand. Huh? That's like 50, 60, 70% of the church. Huh? Don't tell me God ain't real. Let me tell you something. Sometimes people will talk about our ministry. Oh, that drug addict ministry. Oh, that ministry. Oh, man, that. Listen, you could say what you want, man, but I'm looking at real miracles. I'm looking at the real deal. You're looking at the real deal. I went to the mentor, my friend, and I'm here. I'm standing. I'm serving God, and I am grateful. The scripture says, to whom much is forgiven, much loveth. And that's why I love our ministry. Oh, because we've been forgiven much. We know the cutter that God brought us out of, and we become all so grateful. Yes. And you get the most committed sometimes, the most loyal, the most loving people that come to that system of the home, because we knew how far away we were from God. We knew how our system works so much that other churches bring men to our home. I've had pastors come, you know, Pastor, I got a guy. And they bring him to our home. They bring him to me. Can you help him? Can you help him? I look at the pastor sometimes and I think to myself, why can't you help him? Are you hearing me? I think that. I don't tell him that. Come on, somebody. But I think that. I said, why don't you open up a home? And I understand. That's not what God called them to do. Huh? That's what God has called us. But we're not just a home ministry. Huh? We have many people that come. The families. We have families. Come on, somebody. Listen, my daughters weren't on drugs. Huh? My daughters weren't on drugs like I was. Well, what are we going to do? Save them? No. God keeps the family together.
That's right.
And then he brings them. So God says, when God first told Pastor Sonny about the vision. He says, I want you to raise up a ministry, a church for the drug addict and the gang member and their family. That's what the book says. That's what the vision said. That's what God told Pastor Sonny. I want you to raise up a ministry, a church for the drug addict, the gang member, and their family.
Wow.
Even it's in our promises. And your descendants will dispossess nations. God didn't forget about the family. So you may say, well, I'm not a drug addict. I didn't come through the home. It doesn't matter. You're part of the family of God. You're part of the family of God. And you're here. And you fell in love with the vision. You have fallen in love with the vision. The Cave of Adullam is a system. The third system is conferences and discipleships. God has given us three systems that are obvious. The life groups, the victory homes, and then conferences and discipleships. The conferences that, like, the women are getting ready to go to the leadership retreat.
Amen, amen.
We, you know, every year we go to Mighty Men of Valor. Every year we go to Women's Convention. Every year we go to GAN Convention, Summer Camp, Winter Retreat, Leadership Retreat, every, like clockwork. And on the third year we go, we put it all on pause and we all go to World Conference. Yeah. It's getting ready in the year 2020. We will all go to World Conference where all of Victory Outreach International will gather at the LA Convention Center. We are the only organization that takes the whole LA Convention Center. No other organization does it, but Victory Outreach does it. We get the whole place, the whole enchilada. And it is a big place. If you haven't seen it, it's right smack in the middle of the biggest, one of the biggest cities in the United States of America. And we fill the whole place. And you see, man, you think there's a riot that's going to break out in that place because you see men and women tattooed from head to toe. You see them looking hard. Oh, but you see the presence of God fill that place. You see the power of God fill that place. You see people like you, people like me that are all on fire for God. They're all serving the God. That all want to take the world for Jesus. It's the systems that we have. This system is so vital to the keeping of the international flock. You know, that's one of the things that makes us so effective as a ministry is that Pastor Sonny has developed systems. He's developed so many systems, the urban training centers, VETI, MTC, the World Conference, the Men's Discipleship, the Women's Leadership, the Women's Conference, the Gang, the New Generation, the Kids Gang. So what do you think? What are all those? Those are all systems, my friend. That through prayer, God has given us, God has given our ministry, God has given our founder, God has given our elders, God has given our leaders to be keepers of the flock, to keep this big, gigantic flock that is an army together going forward till Jesus comes back, till the rapture takes place, till we all get caught up.
Right.
Keeping us moving forward. Yes. Keeping the flock together. System. This is what Abel developed. He developed systems. See, with these systems in place and more to come. Listen, we have these systems now, but there's going to be, as the church grows, we're going to have more systems. There's going to be more life groups. There's going to be more ministries. We're going to add to the system. And as we add to those systems, we can be better keepers of the flock. How? By having systems. Listen, Abel. I'm almost finished. Abel, all he had was systems. Imagine us today. We just don't have systems. But we also have human resources.
Right.
Abel, all he had was systems. But we have the ability to be better keepers of the flock because we have you.
Right.
Abel, he didn't have you. He didn't have other people. He didn't have other people, but yet he was able still to keep flocks. We have systems and we have people.
Amen.
We have systems and we have leaders. God is showing us that he wants us to be better keepers of the flock.
Yes.
By having system, we can be better by having systems and human resources. In other words, leaders, managers, caretakers. How do you keep flocks as a person? As a person, how are you a keeper of a flock? How are you a keeper of the flocks as a person? I call them the six F's. Fellowship. Along with fellowship is food. I'm teaching you how to keep the flock. Leaders, write notes. People, write notes, because we want to be keepers of the flock, right? Then you know how we be good keepers of the flock? Through fellowship. And you know how to have some good fellowship? Food. I'll prove it to you. We had a potluck on Tuesday. Ooh, come on, somebody. We had the biggest Bible study ever. We had food. It was good, man. We had fun. We had food. Right? It was, how many were here Tuesday, right? We had fun. Huh? Food. Listen, I'm trying to teach how to be keepers of the flock. Fellowship with people. Listen, some people do not fellowship. They're loners. I told you before, man, there ain't no loners in Christianity. Huh? Don't be that weird Christian. Come on, somebody. Huh? Even the Lone Ranger had Tonto, right? Huh? There needs to be fellowship. There needs to be fellowship, not fellow lip. Fellowship. Huh? Some get together for fellow lipping. Huh? Fellow lipping. Fellow lipping about the pastor. Fellow lipping about the leader. Fellow lipping about the brother. No, fellowship. Come on, somebody. Huh? Fellowship, keeping the ship together. Fellowship. And how do you do that? Through food, man. You know, make some food. Invite people over to your house.
Right.
And don't start fellow lipping.
Right.
Break down the word.
Good.
Encourage.
Good.
Testify.
Amen.
Huh? Testify how God has been good. You know, talk about what God is doing in your life. Talk about what God spoke to you in prayer. Talk about the next move that God has called you to make as a family, as a ministry, how God is speaking to your life. Fellowship is so important. This is how we be keepers of the flock, through fellowship. This is why when we call a fellowship, man, you should be there.
Right.
You should be there at the fellowships. Because sometimes, well, I showed up for the ministry. I showed up for the event. But that's, you know, okay. But sometimes when you just show up for the event, but you don't show up for the fellowship, you're having the work mentality.
Wow.
I just don't want to have a working relationship with you. I want to have a friendship relationship with you.
Amen, amen.
And that's my next one, which is friendship. How do you be a keeper of the flock? Not just by fellowship, but through friendships.
Amen.
How do we be keepers of the flock, Victor Arich? Through our friendliness.
Amen.
And that's not easy for us.
Amen.
It's not easy for us. It is not easy for us. Because in the world, some of us weren't friendly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's why they called us Mad Dog. Right? Call you Mad Dog. You know? Right? Huh? We're mad. And ooh, who's he mad at? Who's she mad at? They call us cat women. Huh? We weren't friendly. Huh? And listen, if we're going to be keepers of the flock, we have to have friendships. We have to have fellowship. And not only that, but we also got to friend people. Huh? We got to friend people, like on Facebook when you send a friend request. Huh? Right? You know? I'm not that big, you know, at friendly people. I used to not be that big. I used to be like, if they friend me, they friend me, but I'm not going to friend nobody, right? And then later, you know, for years I was like that. I just, you know, didn't have time, didn't really think about it. But then like a couple months ago, I said, you know, I looked at how many friends I had, and I looked at how many other friendly people. A lot of people had a lot of friends. I said, whoa, man, maybe I need to be more friendly. Maybe I need to friend people more, right? So I started friending people more. And you know what happened? All of a sudden I got a lot of friends. Yeah. And let me tell you something. Let me tell you something about even in that case with Victory Outreach. Victory Outreach, we got a whole world of friends out there. I mean, I keep on adding another new brother and sister in Christ like that, and it never stops. Victory Outreach. London, Victorious Africa, Victorious California, Victorious here, Victorious there, Victorious, and my God! Right?
Yeah.
Huh? We gotta friend people, but not just on Facebook, in life.
Hello.
And in life, you know, it may not be by pushing a button, but you know how it is?
There you go.
Oh, come on, somebody. Huh? And life, sometimes it's not by pushing a button, but it's by friendliness. When's the last time you friended somebody in real life? In real life. A real person. We serve a real God, right?
Yeah.
When is the church going to become real to the world?
Wow.
That's good.
So sometimes it's like, you know, well, we just see church on Facebook, but when is a church going to come out of the closet and be real in the world?
Wow.
That we show up to the QT, we show up to the Walmart, we show up when we're washing clothes in the lavanderia, and we're at our workplace, and we come, and you may not know that person. They're a stranger, and they're looking at you, walking up to me, to them. They're saying, stranger danger, stranger danger, stranger danger. But to me, like, I just want to invite you to church.
Right.
This is my church. I want to invite you. Jesus loves you. What's your name? My name is Athena.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know Athena. Earlier this week, she was at the office. She's in the women's home. I said, hey, sister. I said, bye, sister. I didn't know her name. I said, honey, what's your name again? Athena. Oh, okay, Athena. I know her now. See, it's better than sister, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Or do you like when we call you brother? Hey, brother. Alright? Better when you call brother so-and-so. Sister so-and-so. You begin to know. That's being friendly. And sometimes we don't even know people's names in the church.
Wow.
And we have to call them brother. We have to call them. And that's good. We're not going to know everybody's name. Remember that show Cheers? Right? What was that song? We want to go where everybody knows your name. That's so true. Huh? People want to go where their name is known. But sometimes because we're loners in the church, we don't even bother to reach out even in the church to get somebody's name. Huh? How are we going to build a church like that? How are we going to be keepers of the flock like that? It's going to come as we're friendly. We have to be a friendly church. Then also follow up. How do we be a keeper of the flock? Through follow up. We got to follow up, not just on people that got saved at the summer jam or last Sunday, but we got to even follow up. Look who's not here, that used to be here, that should be here. When's the last time you followed up? When's the last time you just went to their door and knocked on their door?
Whoa.
You ain't seen them in church. But you say, oh, well, they're just mad, or they just got mad, or they just got hurt, or they just, okay, but what, we're not just going to do, what, if somebody got shot, are you just going to sit there and say, oh, they just got shot? Right? No, you got to call 911, call 911. You know, all of a sudden you become a doctor. Right? You know, you just all of a sudden you start to put everything to practice you've seen on TV. I mean, give me your shirt, make a trick, you know, CPR. You know, right? We start to do something. Huh? Oh, they're hurt. Just leave them, they're hurt. And let them die? Why don't you go perform some CPR?
Hello.
Why don't you go, well, I don't know, man. Listen, it just takes people that care.
That's right.
Do what you learn on. Do what you've seen your pastor do. Do what you've seen your leader do. Do what you see. Do what you see on TV, and I don't care. Do what you see on the movie, Christian movie, but do something.
Come on.
Follow up is so key with new people and even people that maybe have fell off.
Come on.
Talking about keepers of the flock.
Good, Pastor.
How do we be keepers of the flock? Fellowship, friendship, follow up, and then fun.
Right. Amen.
Fun. Fun. Enjoy serving God.
Right.
Enjoy serving God. Serving God is fun.
Man.
Going to the streets is fun.
Man.
Going to the life group is fun.
Man.
Being in church is fun.
Yeah.
Making altar call is fun.
Yeah.
Serving God is fun. I don't know about you, but I love serving God.
Man.
I get excited, man. Man, we had fun last Saturday.
Man.
We had fun, man, building a stage and putting up the batter. Look, look, it's like, well, it's fun. It's like, whoa, look. And then we sit back and look at what we did. Wow, man, we did this. Man, just nobody like us. People like us, but a bunch of ragtag people like us.
Hello.
But we did it. It was fun. Serving God is fun. Doing dramas, we have fun. Didn't we have fun going to Houston?
Yeah.
We have fun. Even though Amen, everything broke down. We have fun. I got some little walkie-talkies. I said, bring the walkie-talkies. I want to have fun acting like, you know, I'm the captain of the army. Over now. The Shucky Ducky, are you there? Joshua Shucky Ducky. Oh, we? No? See, I even have fun preaching. Messing with all y'all. Serving God's fun. It's fun serving God. Huh? It's fun serving God. It's exciting serving God. Taking a guy into the home is fun. Come on, somebody. Building a men's home is fun. Oh, it's fun building a men's home. It's fun building a women's home. Come on. It's fun. You want to really have some fun? Open up a D home. Move some people into your house. You'll start to really have some good fun then. It gets a little crazy, but after a while, we think about, that was a trip. That was crazy. You remember that? We have fun building a church. I remember at one point we had our church in our living room because Park Road, the AC broke down. Really, it was hot. It was hotter than hell. So I was like, we're having church in the living room. Everybody come to my house in the living room. Man, we had church in the living room. The men's home was staying with us. After church, we were fellowshipping. And all of a sudden, the biggest guy in the home started beating down the littlest guy in the home. And grandma was in the sanctuary in the living room just praising the Lord. And they're over here just and I'm in the middle, behave, guy. And then my little old wife got in the middle. And then one guy got a knife or a bottle to bust it over the other guy. She said, you better put that down. He said, yes, ma'am. God, it was crazy. Big guy was defending me. You ain't gonna talk to my pastor like that. And I kind of said, that's right, get him. And I kind of let him hit him a couple times. It was crazy then.
When
we look back and say, well, that was funny. Crazy. We had so many experiences. The church got flooded in Park Row. We still had church. One time there was a hurricane. There was a tornado, man. It was a tornado, but we were all at the church. And I was like, oh my God, the tornado's gonna hit. I said, but I can't send them home because they may get caught in the tornado. The lights got turned off. And we're just gonna have church, man, because I'm afraid if I send them home, they'll get caught in the tornado. I said, just, you know, turn on the candles. Everybody get candles. We had a bunch of candles. And we had church. Fun. New people were there. They were like tripping, like, what in the world is these people doing? We have fun. One time, serving God is fun.
Right.
It's fun. Make God serving God fun. And people, they trip out on us. They're like, man, these people are committed. They're crazy. They're committed. They probably go home all laughing and crazy, but at least we gave them something to laugh about. At least we gave them something to laugh about. Because they probably haven't laughed in a long time. They probably haven't laughed in a long time. Huh? Right? I try to make it fun. I try to say a little joke here and there. I don't even try to be funny. It just happens sometimes. How do you keep the flocks? Fellowship, friendship, follow-up, fun, and then faithfulness. You know how we become keepers of the flock? By you being faithful. I've said it so many times. Your faithfulness is so important. Huh? Faithfulness. Your faithfulness. People are looking at you. They're not just looking at me, but they're looking at you. People come and they haven't been around for a long time, but then they come and they still see me, they still see you, and they look at you and say, man, you know what? She's been faithful.
Amen.
He's been faithful. They've been faithful, man. If they can do it, I can do it. Man, I thank God they're still here. I'm thank God because I've been looking for them and I came and I wanted to make sure that they're going to be there. If they weren't going to be there, man, it was going to be a real bummer and I probably wouldn't have came back. But because they are there, they're at their post. She's even sitting in the same chair. They won't let go of that chair. Hello, somebody. Huh? Faithfulness. It's important that you say faithful. And then lastly, you got to fear God. Fear God. Piano player can come up. How do we keep flocks? By having the fear of the Lord. By being faithful and having conviction. The fear of God. Because you know what? People can come. But if they come and they see worldliness, it's going to turn them off.
Right.
I'm going to say, man, well, what do I need the world for? If I come and I... It's the same thing here. I'm trying to change, but yet I come and I see... I don't see change in the church. I don't see change in the people. I come from the world. I'm trying to get off drugs, but I come and I see people... And I'm, listen, come as you are, man. Come, you know. But be changed.
Right.
Come as you are, but be changed.
Right.
Somebody responded to David message us on Facebook. Says, I'm looking for a church. I've been going around to different churches in Grand Prairie, but I just don't feel like we fit in. And I seen your church. I seen your flyer. I think they see the big homie flyer. They said, I think I can fit in there. So every time I go to other churches, they look at my husband up and down. I said, well, come. He said, come to our church. Come as you are. I said, do we have to dress a certain way? I said, no, just come as you are. I said, on Sundays, we have to dress up. But come as you are. But I know inside that when they come and they feel the love of God, when they experience the touch of God, when they feel the friendliness of the people and the love of the people, that does something.
Right.
I'll leave this place different, changed, wanting to come back. I cannot do this by myself. Me and my wife, there's no way we can do this. But it takes all of us to be keepers of the flock. This is our flock that God has given us. But maybe I myself has reached my capacity. Me and my wife, we reached. And so now it's important that you stretch your capacity. Because maybe this is where my capacity ends. It's keeping up with you. But this is where now your capacity can be added on top of my and her capacity. To extend, to lengthen our cords and strengthen our stake, to stretch out from the right and to the left.
Good.
Now, why is it important to keep flocks? Verse 4 in Genesis. All right, this is my last verse. Look at Genesis chapter 4, verse 4. Why it's important to keep flocks. Listen to what the verse says. And Abel. Also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Why is it important that we keep flocks? Because it brings God's favor. God smiles down at the keeper of flocks. It pleases God when his people are being those shepherds that are keeping, not scattering, but keeping. Sometimes we have people, and sometimes they scatter. We don't want to be scatterers, we want to be keepers. Keepers. Because it pleases God. It says that God looked down with favor upon Abel and his offering. Listen, when we become keepers of the flock, it's our offering to God. Life group leader, that's your offering to God. So run that life group with all you have. Give it your best, man. Every time, just don't give them, you know, just refried beans all the time. I mean, it's good sometimes, but, you know, man, study for them, man. Pray for them, man. Put together messages for that life group. That not all the time that they got to come from a book, but they should come from the book. That you become, man, say, you know what, man, I may have a little life group, man, but you know what? I'm going to give them some meat, steak, and potatoes. Huh? I'm going to give them some good. I'm going to make sure that my little old sheep are eating good. That these sheep that God has brought into my fold, that God has put under my care, that my pastor's entrusted me with, that, man, you know what? I'm going to make sure that I take care of them, that not just on Wednesdays, but I'm also going to meet with them on Thursdays and on Tuesdays. And now we don't have nothing on Tuesdays, so now we can plan a fellowship, and I can meet with this couple. I can meet with this person. I can do some one-on-one here. We can go to Starbucks over here, man. We can have some friendship. We can have some fun. We can connect. And keepers of the flock. And it's not that you're just calling them in just because when you want something, something needs to be done. Churches get a bag of mold for that. You're going to always have people that complain no matter what. But listen, it pleases God when keepers of the flock. And I don't know about you, but I want to be pleasing to God. I want to be pleasing to God. I want to please God. I want to give God one day a fat portion of my first fruits. I want to be able to say, God, I don't got much, God. What I have, I give you the best. I give you the best. Jesse would say this. He would say, we give our best to reach the worst. We send our best to reach the worst. Pastor Sonny once told Pastor Ed, why do you always send your good guys? Why do you always send your good guys? You send all your good guys. He said, Jesse, yeah, all these good, Pastor Ed watched out so many churches. Pastor Ed says, because I want to give my best to reach the worst.
Amen.
If you think about all the, imagine if Pastor Sonny would have kept all the elders and all the pastors. Imagine all the pastors in Victoria. Imagine he would have kept them all for himself. Imagine. He would have the biggest church in the world.
Right.
If he kept all the pastors. But he didn't. He sent him out. He gave his best to reach the worst. I'm not one to toot my own horn. But in East Dallas, me and my wife try to be our best. I love my pastor. I love him. I gave him the best. When I was there, I gave him the best. I laid my life down. I had a good job. I need you to come work in the office. Yes, sir. I can't pay you. So I don't even get paid. I started working, giving it my best. Working in the youth ministry, working in the office. He didn't even have to come to the office because I was there. My pastor's not an office guy. He didn't need to be because I was there. Preaching, running services. Sometimes he wouldn't come to services. I'd just run the service, preach. Run the whole service and preach sometimes, you tell me. I'd run the whole service and then preach. I mean, so here I use Josh and Irvin. He said, no, you run the whole thing and you preach. So praise God. I'm comfortable. Yes, sir, Pastor. Sometimes he called me late at night, hey, go, I need you to go run this. I need you to go do this. I need you to come over to my house, pick this up and take it over there. Middle of the night, early in the morning, whatever time was available. My wife the same way. She lived with the pastor. But you know, he sent us out. He sent us out. I know I probably heard him. He counted on me for a lot of things. But as he sent us out, it was an offering.
was an offering that he's given to God. An offering that he's given to God. Because he understood one thing. There's a flock out there in Arlington and Grand Prairie. There used to be a church in Arlington before. It folded. The pastor had problems and issues. It folded. And there was like a little flock. There was people. The name was known. So he said, listen, I need you to... That's why he sent us to Arlington. He said, go, because there's a flock out there. Whether they come or not, but we need to make sure we cover our part, and we need to make sure we plant the flag of Victory Arlington, the blood-stained banner of Jesus Christ, right, back in that city. Yeah. So we came, man, we planted the flag of Jesus Christ, the banner of Victory Arlington. They started to come. Sheep started to come. Louise and her family came walking in the door. She brought like 5 little sheep with her. Called her Mary, had a little lamb. But then I found out she had a sister named Mary. And the little sheep, they started to come. They started to fill that little pen. It was just a little sheepfold. Then Josh would come, and Irby would come. One by one, they'd come in all beat up.
Sister, remember the one that sat next to you in church? Where's she at? Listen to what Cain said. He got sassy. I don't know, he replied.
Am I my brother's keeper? The Lord said, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Stand to your feet. The cry. Do you hear the cry? Or are you going to respond like Cain? Am I my brother's keeper? What does that have to do with me if they're not here? What does that have to do with me if they don't come? What does it have to do with me if the sheep don't come on Sundays or Fridays? Am I my brother's keeper? Yeah, you are. Yeah, we are. I hear the cry. I hear the cry. Keeps me in prayer. Keeps me going forward. Because I hear the cry. We gotta hear the cry, church. There's a cry out there. There's a cry. God is waiting for us to be those keepers of the flock. Go follow up on somebody. Go love on somebody. Go fellowship with somebody. Go friend somebody. Do you hear the cry? Do you hear the cry? That's not a coincidence. There's an alert from heaven. A soul alert. The Amber Alert came from Arlington. It was established because of what happened in Arlington, Texas. God is saying to us, do you hear the cry? If you're new, okay, let God break you. Let God touch you. But then love on Him back. Through your giving. Through your service. Through your worship. If you're not plugged into a Bible study, get plugged in. Get plugged in. So I don't need. I study at home. Great. But don't you think others can benefit from your study? Don't you think others can benefit from your insight? Let serving God be fun. Don't let it be work. Let it be a love relationship. And as we do that, we become keepers. Keepers. Stay faithful. Stay faithful. Your faithfulness is so important. Lift your hands to the Lord. You can use anything, Lord. You can use me. Tonight, God spoke to your heart. God spoke to your heart about being a keeper of the flock. The altar's open. I want you to come. Maybe God has been challenging you tonight. Maybe you've strayed from the flock. Maybe you've strayed from the flock. It's time to come back to the fold. Come back into the flock. Stop straddling the fence. Maybe you see somebody here tonight. You need to bring them. They've been straying. Say, oh, I need to be a keeper of the flock. Maybe they need a little bit of help. They need a little bit of assistance. It's at the altar where God brings down the walls. It's at the altar where God touches. He begins to do what the preacher can't do. I've done my best. I preach my heart out. God wants to touch you. He wants to touch you. He wants to touch me.